Welcome.
Gentlemen, I have a plan.
Put his glasses on.
Why? Because Y2K is the first end of the world prophecy in history where something will definitely happen on the predicted date.
You're listening to the Generation Y podcast, unlocking memories you didn't know that you had so you can feel warm and fuzzy again.
Everybody, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
So I have to ask you, Amy, are you on the naughty or the nice list this year?
Both.
How can you be on both?
I just can. I'm fabulous.
Oh, like I don't think it works that way.
It does.
So we're super excited this week to give you guys an episode that's all about, I think, probably part of our favorite holiday traditions, which is our favorite holiday movies growing up. And also one of the things that we're going to do besides going over my couple of favorite movies, and then reviewing my absolute favorite. I think even though it's not technically a 90s holiday film, it's probably my favorite holiday movie of all time, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I count it as a 90s film because it was released in 1989.
Yeah, we'll get into all that in a minute. But I guess it's like one of those things where, like, because it was on rerun, it was on cable.
Still counts.
Technically, it was released on home video in the 90s. So I think of it as a 90s movie because obviously I wasn't going to the movie theater in 1989, I would have been three.
I would have been one.
So anyway, we're going to get into that in just a minute. But first, Amy wanted to share with you some information on how you can get a hold of us at the Generation Y podcast.
Yeah, so we want you guys to call us, leave us a message with your favorite childhood memories, anything that just kind of makes you feel warm and fuzzy. We want to hear about it. So we have a phone number for you. It's 304-805-6029.
And we'll give that again at the end of the show. But definitely, we got a bunch of people commenting and messaging us and staying involved with this week's episode. But we want to make sure that you know that you can also call in. And we'll definitely, like Amy was just saying,
and be nice.
We're going to play all those messages. So we kind of want this to become more of a community thing and have people involved and then be able to hear themselves live on the podcast. Well, not live. It's not live, but you know what I mean.
Oh, we should do live one day.
We should definitely do a live stream at some point. I think that'd be cool. I think we could do a live stream maybe the day that we go to 90s Con.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that for a minute.
Fingers crossed that it does not get canceled because of Omicron.
Yeah, stupid vid.
So, for those of you out there in 90s land, there is a convention, I can't speak, the first of its kind, 90s Con, is going to be in March. It's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut.
Which is not that far from us.
No, not that far from us. And we are planning on going, if all is well, with the COVID, but we really want to be there.
And if we go, we're definitely going to, like, the night after we go, we're going to either record an episode, or it would be cool to do like a live thing. I don't know how we'd be able to figure that out technologically, but that'd be cool. But some of the people that are going to be there are like the cast of all that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All of them except for obviously Keenan, because he's too cool.
Too famous, too cool
SNL
for school.
And stuff. But yeah, we got her. Isn't Danny the one that also was on The Adventures of Pete and Pete? He was on all that.
He's going to be there.
Yeah. Is it Josh something?
Josh Server.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a bad 90s kid. I can't think of his last name. A bunch of people. Isn't the cast of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, including Melissa Joan Hart, going to be there?
Yep, she's going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Which is like what I'm really excited for. I'm excited for Lori Beth Denberg because she was fabulous, but I'm really excited for
I imagine they're going to announce some more, too. As it goes along, they're probably going to come out with more people. Oh, well, depending on what this stupid variant does.
But as far as we know, we're going to be there. So maybe
it's like the second week in
March.
We'll
see you guys there.
When it gets closer to, we'll like give out all the info. I think it's a little up in the air right now in terms of when.
You know, it would be cool.
Yeah, what's that?
If we could somehow, closer to the event, like do a giveaway.
That would be cool. Give away some passes or something. That would be pretty neat. Cool. So, so today we're going to talk about our favorite Christmas movies from our childhood growing up in the 90s. So I thought I would start off, and then we're also going to review the National Lampoon's movie. But I want to go through what I think my top three are, and then you tell me if you agree, and we'll talk about what our favorites are real quick. You want to do that?
Sounds good.
And then at the end, we'll go through all of our listeners and kind of what they wrote in and said about their favorite movies. So I was reading through a top 25 list today. It was like from ranker.com or something. It was an article actually in our local TV station, like our local CBS affiliate, and like half the movies weren't even Christmas movies. Do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie just because it's set at Christmas?
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
I've never actually seen Die Hard.
You've never seen Die Hard?
No. I'm honestly, if I did, it was probably something that I watched with my cousin younger, and I just wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't into that sort of genre when I was that.
Can you say that word again? That sort of what? Genre?
Genre.
Sorry, I won't make fun of you in the podcast.
I don't normally say it like that.
I was like, what is she saying?
Genre.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's like very, very like vaguely set at, like, it's at a Christmas party when the terrorist comes in and like takes people hostage.
Well, so there's a big debate about that movie.
But there's a bunch of movies that were on this list that I was reading that I don't even think are Christmas movies. Just because there's take part in December doesn't necessarily make it a Christmas movie. It's weird. I don't know.
I think it does. I don't know how it can count.
It'd be like seeing like, was it? No, it wasn't Apollo 13. There was one of these movies I was watching about NASA, and they, it might have been Apollo 8 or something, and they're like, actually took place during Christmas time. So they were like doing a broadcast back to Earth. Anyway, there was a movie. It might have been the Earth to the Moon series or something, where someone was mentioning, my favorite Christmas episode of a TV show is this NASA thing. And I was like, that doesn't even count. Like, it's one thing if it's like, you know, Roseanne Christmas, or I'm sure, I think Fresh Prince had a Christmas episode. That to me is an actual Christmas episode of a show, but we digress. So you ready for my top three?
Yeah, I want to hear.
Actually, you know what we should do? I'll do my number three, you do your number three. I'll do my number two, you do your number two, and we'll go back and forth.
Okay.
All right. So my number three would definitely have to be Home Alone.
I think we're tied there.
Is that your number three?
Yeah, I think so too.
All right.
I love Home Alone. It's a classic.
It's definitely not the best one, though, I don't think.
I don't know. I love it. Maybe it's my number two.
Okay, so what's your number three then?
I would probably say, and this came out later on, but it was early 2K, and 2003 was Elf. I like Elf.
That's 03? It's that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
So your number three is Elf. Mine is Home Alone.
Home Alone.
My number two, I would say, has to be A Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. Another one that, you know, it's a movie from the 80s. So technically it's not, but I mean, we all grew up watching, I mean, I have to think, everybody listening to this grew up watching it on like TBS. They do like that 24 hours, I still do it, of A Christmas Story. I remember like I would sit up late at night with my dad because he would always forget to wrap presents for my mom. And he'd fall asleep in his recliner. And here I am like 10 years old. He's snoring in his recliner. And by the time I got done wrapping all the presents, I'd probably watch that movie like 2.5 times through.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. And
it was definitely a huge part of my childhood.
So that's my number two. What's your number two? You said Home Alone?
Home Alone.
Okay. And you do your number one first. I already gave mine away.
Okay. I would say my number one, is definitely Christmas Vacation.
Mine too.
Yeah. We picked a good episode.
We're on the same page, which is what we're going to review in a couple minutes. We're going to go through it. And just a little bit of warning. I mean, I don't think we ever cuss. I cuss in real life, just not on this podcast. Other than the occasional like S-bomb and damn or something. But we are going to play some clips. There is, I would call it coarse language. So if you're listening to it with little ones, which is awesome, trying to introduce them to 90s and stuff, I would just be warned. There's some F-bombs and stuff in some of the clips we're going to play. And the other thing is spoiler warning. We're going to go through the plot synopsis and talk about the parts that we like and the parts we don't like. And so that means if you haven't seen this movie,
pause this podcast.
Well, I was going to say, what rock are you living under? But
and go watch it.
Yes, go watch this movie.
You're missing out.
Watch this movie now. Even if you watch it on cable where they edit it a little bit, it doesn't take anything away from the movie. So you have to watch it. So awesome. What I think we should do real quick is we should play the trailer so everybody can hear it, at least the trailer of the movie. And then we'll kind of launch into going over the whole backstory behind it. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
To be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
After vacationing across America and throughout Europe,
take it, Russ.
This holiday season,
fa-la-la-la-la,
the Griswolds are going to play it safe.
Clark, we're stuck under a truck.
Oops. They're staying at home.
I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Hope you're not getting sap all over your sweater, Clark.
All Clark wants is a quiet, old-fashioned Christmas.
Sorry. Got a little knot here. You can work on that.
What he's going to get is the gift that keeps on living.
Merry Christmas.
His family.
We didn't come to impose.
Oh, hell, there's plenty of room.
Do you sleep with your brother? Do you know how sick and twisted that is, Mom?
Well, I'm sleeping with your father.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus they ain't identified yet.
But no holiday could ever be more deeply touching.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We're really gonna fly down the hill with this stuff.
So genuinely moving.
Can I refill your eggnog for you?
Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead?
More truly uplifting.
Can I show you something?
I was just browsing.
Or more down to earth.
Merry Christmas!
If Santa is smart, he'll stay well clear of this joint. It's a death trap.
Then Christmas with the Griswolds.
Everybody come out quick, look at the lights!
They want you to say grace.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America.
This year, let Chevy Chase light up your holidays. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That thing had 9 lives. She just spent them all.
You woo, crack up.
I've had that song stuck in my head for days.
Yeah, we just watched this movie. Well, obviously, we're getting ready for the podcast, but we watched the movie. I watch it like 3 times a year, even though it's not Christmas.
We just watched it a couple days
speaking
ago.
Speaking of songs, now, you know, we haven't covered this other movie because it's early 80s, but everybody out there has probably seen all of the National Lampoon Vacation movies. Which song is better, Holiday Road from the first Vacation movie or the Christmas song?
That's a really tough one because they're both ones that just get stuck in your head.
I'm going to lean
really
towards
catchy.
Holiday Road by a little tiny bit just because it's something you listen to all the time. Or
I feel like Holiday Road to me is a little bit more nostalgic because I've watched the original Vacation way more than I have Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
So I would say Holiday Road.
I do think though, like name one other song from the original Vacation movie that you can even think of though, besides Holiday Road.
That's the only one I can think of.
Because the thing about Christmas Vacation is there's multiple songs I think of. Like, there's the Christmas Vacation song we were just playing, and then you have
Bella Kalinkima.
Yeah, you have, which we'll get into in a second. You have that song which plays during the pool scene, which we'll talk about in a minute.
The pool scene.
And then there's also that song, I can't think of what it's called, but I think of it. The song, I think is it Ray Charles? The one that's playing when he's sitting in the attic watching the home movies and he's like all teary-eyed?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really famous Christmas song, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's really two or three good songs in this movie versus just one good song in the regular one.
I agree.
I think so. Yep. I think the soundtrack on Christmas Vacation is actually better, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would say so.
Pick one or the
other.
But
I still like the Holiday Road song.
All right.
It makes me happy when I think about it.
So, I'm going to blow through really quick just kind of some backstory and stuff behind it. So, like we were just saying, even though the movie was released in 1989, definitely feel like we can grandfather this one in because it was a huge part of, I think, everyone's childhoods growing up. It was released on home video in like 1990. Obviously in the theaters it was released December of 89. But I do remember watching it on NBC. But what I was reading online earlier this week is that actually, which makes sense, that it aired for the first couple years on either HBO or Cinemax. And I definitely remember having cable back then, having HBO. So if anything aired on HBO, we definitely probably saw it at some point. Or, you know, shh, don't tell anybody because we don't want to get in trouble. But my dad used to like have a VCR, he had a VHS tape, you know, of it, I'm sure.
Oh my God, we all did that.
He filmed off of
all
HBO.
All of our parents did that.
With all the little handwritten labels.
Yeah.
The thing was, you like one tape had like 5 movies on it, or 4 movies. Could fit a lot. If you did like the lower quality,
yep,
could fit like multiple movies on a tape.
Yeah. You know, my grandfather had an entire room filled with.
Did he have any of those? There was those old, like, those old tape things that, like, well, there was the ones with the drawers I have for my VHS, yep, tapes that you pull out.
Were they brown?
Yeah.
Brown ones?
But there was the old cabinets that, like, opened up it like swung open. It was like a big cabinet, and you could put tapes on the inside. But then the doors also held tapes. It like opened up like two doors that swung open.
No, you know I never about? Had no? one of those. You I never had the had drawers. That?
Yep. Okay, you definitely have the drawers. I have some for my VHS tapes.
They're so 90s if looking. You go the fake wood grain.
Here's the insane. Yeah, here's the insane thing. If you go on eBay or something, people are selling. Which I kind of want to buy some because honestly, I don't have any of my original tapes. People are selling on eBay, and of course, they can't say what it actually is because technically it's still illegal. So they're saying it says for use as blank only, but they're selling like just their tapes that they taped off of TV with like TV shows and commercials, and it's like a random assortment. So you never know
I would buy those.
You never know what you're getting. You pop it in, and it could be anything.
I would totally buy those.
There's some YouTubers that they actually will do. I have a couple that I have subscribed to. They'll actually do videos where they'll go buy these. Because I guess down south, up here, I know Goodwill near us, they legally will not sell blank VHS tapes like that. But down south, there's other places kind of like Goodwill, these other like chain thrift stores. I think one's called like Savers or something like that. They do sell the VHS tapes. And some, if somebody donates them, you can get lucky and grab them for like a buck a piece.
Do they have somebody that screen them though?
No.
Like think about all the weird stuff you'd get.
Yes.
That's immediately where my mind went to.
I think though that.
Tell me I'm not the only one.
I think though that they're like, they figure people are going to use them as blanks. That's what they're sold as, for use as blanks. But no one's doing that.
No.
So the guy has a whole YouTube channel of nothing but, actually, he does other things too, but the biggest one, his name is Brutal Moose. Like brutal, like you're being brutal, and then moose, like the animal. Brutal Moose. And he does like these mystery VHS tape episodes like once a month where he'll go through a tape. It's like 30 minutes long. He doesn't show it all, but he'll go through and he'll pick out the most interesting commercials or shows. And like one time he had one where it was like a really boring, it was like 5 hours of like train documentaries from like TBS from like 1992.
I just want a bunch of infomercial tapes.
That would be fun.
That would make my life
complete. The thing is, like, a lot of it's on YouTube now. Like, yeah. I've thought of, now that I have my VCR and, like, we're setting up our little home theater downstairs, I've thought of, like, going and, like, just somehow playing it on YouTube and recording it on the VHS. So you have the aesthetic. Is that the right word, aesthetic?
Aesthetic.
Yeah.
90s
so,
aesthetic.
So that when you watch it, like, it looks like you remember. But we got way off track there. So, yeah, we definitely all watched it either, you know, on cable TV or some sort of bootlegged copy. So I definitely remember watching it on our local NBC affiliate in like the mid-90s. And I didn't know until I got older that there was actually curse words in this movie, because anything on cable, they like edit out all the swear words and stuff. So do you remember the first time that you saw this movie? Or can you recall your earliest memory of this movie? How old you would have been?
I'd have to say, honestly, probably teenager. I grew up watching, my parents loved the original Vacation, and so that's the movie that they showed me within that series, and so I always watched Vacation, and I never watched Christmas Vacation until I was about a teenager.
Oh, really?
I would say, with my friends.
I remember, girl, yeah. I remember watching, I was little. I remember, and now we can get into this, the Hawaiian song,
Yeah, the pool scene.
Okay, so I remember, the pool scene, for people that haven't seen it, because we're going to go through the synopsis of the plot, but I don't actually have to listen to my synopsis. It's a pretty minor scene in the movie. But Clark, the main character, the main subplot is that he's really stressed that he's not going to get his Christmas bonus. And he really needs his Christmas bonus because he already put the money down. He wrote a check for a pool for his family that they're going to get put in the backyard, and he doesn't have the money to cover that check. Talk about crappy money management skills.
Yeah.
But the scene
he
is
always
him,
makes poor decisions.
He makes really poor Clark. Decisions. It's like his thing. The scene is him standing at the window, and he's like kind of just daydreaming of having this pool, and there's some random girl from the mall, because early in the movie he meets this girl at the mall that he thinks is attractive. And it's her like standing like at the side of the pool, like stripping off her bathing suit, and you don't really see anything. I mean, you kind of see something, but not really. Like,
you see a little bit of side boob.
It's not side boob. It's not like full frontal nudity or anything.
No.
But I remember as a kid, I mean, I was probably like 7 or 8 watching that movie, and my parents would be like, "Here comes a scene. Close your eyes." And like maybe like they'd be like turn away. Like, did your parents do that when you were watching like a rated, like, I was just say a rated R, but like a, if you're watching like a PG-13 or PG movie when you were little, were they like, don't look?
Yes, I had to turn away and close my eyes.
How did they not figure we were going to peek?
I don't know.
I mean,
it was so embarrassing.
What, they did it when you had friends over?
No, but it was just embarrassing. I maybe it's because I was a girl, and like, if those scenes ever came on, like with my dad in the room, it would kind of freak me out, and I'd feel really awkward and weird, and I'd hide under the blanket.
Yeah, I definitely remember them going, "Don't look at it." I remember watching Titanic. Don't look at it.
You couldn't look at Titanic?
They're like, when the scene came on, when he was drawing her, look away, close your eyes. But I guess I'm going to go get a drink right now.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness. But that song is a great song, that Hawaiian Christmas song. I love that. It's one of my favorites, actually, from this time of year.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love that song. It's Bing Crosby.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
So to get into a little bit of the history behind the movie, so National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is a 1989 American Christmas comedy film. And like we already alluded to, it was the third installment in that series. The first one is 1983's Vacation, which I think is an outstanding, amazing movie. And then the second one was 1985's European Vacation. Now, here's the weird thing. I'm trying to think about the European Vacation. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've never seen it.
I've seen Christmas. I've seen the first one. And I've seen Vegas.
I've never seen European.
We're going to have to watch it because I've never seen European Vacation, which is weird.
I wonder if it's any good.
I wonder if it's like the worst rated one out of the four of them. Four of them? Yeah, the four of them.
Yeah. No, I've seen all the other ones. Not European, though. We should watch that.
And then there's one that's like a Christmas Vacation number two. We haven't gone into the characters yet, but it's Cousin Eddie? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cousin Eddie's like Island Christmas or something. It was like a made-for-TV movie. I've heard it's absolutely horrendous, so definitely not. Yeah. But Vegas Vacation, that's definitely something we got to do for a future episode of the podcast.
Wasn't Cousin Eddie just arrested?
Like in real life?
Somebody else.
I think he was.
In Vermont.
He lives in Vermont.
He lives in Vermont.
Yeah, he lives in the state that we live in, which is crazy. He's like a really long beard. No, didn't he get in trouble? No, he got in trouble for like trespassing or something. And he went to Vermont to like basically run away from his warrant and was living here and like volunteered in the local fire department and then got arrested.
Oh, you're probably, I think you're right.
He settled out of court or something because he's obviously still got some money from all the movies he's done. I mean, he was wasn't he in Independence Day?
I don't know.
Wasn't he the dad that was like the crop dusting pilot that at the end like flies his plane into the alien spaceship?
I haven't seen that movie in such a long time.
Another one we got to go over at some point.
But yeah, we get so many random celebrities in Vermont.
Yeah, weird. Like not to go over any of this, but like Alec Baldwin after his recent debacle and that horrible
tragedy
that lady died on the set of that movie. He came to Vermont. Randomly.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people who come to Vermont. Like, at one point, and for other reasons too, like Keith Urban, the country singer, he has a house here. Like, it's kind of nuts. I guess if you live anywhere, like, people who live in Hawaii, I'm sure there's celebrities there. I know I had a friend who I went to school with growing up that lived, or has family that lives, like, out by the Cape. There's people that have houses out there, so I guess it's wherever it's nice. I guess you get to like skiing to live in Vermont.
Or maple syrup.
For like all of our stereotypes now, is that what we're going to do? Or Cabot cheese or ice cream, Ben and Jerry's.
So, we have the best stereotypes.
Yeah. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So it originated from a short story by writer John Hughes called Christmas 59, which was published in the December 1980 issue of National Lampoon magazine. So National Lampoon magazine, I didn't even know this was a thing until I did research for this episode. Was kind of like Mad. You ever read Mad Magazine?
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Okay. Yeah, my mom used to have a bunch of issues.
So National Lampoon was a... So it started at Harvard University. They had a thing called the Harvard Lampoon, and it was a spinoff of that, and it was just like, you know, weird comedy things, essays, short stories, a lot of like satire, like making fun of stuff. And the thing about it was that this little magazine that started at a local, you know, a university, like a little local magazine, like spun off. There was like radio things. There was live theater. And there was a couple of records that came out. And then you have all these films, like tons. Like Animal House is a National Lampoon film. That's like way early, way before this podcast.
I remember that.
So it's, and a lot of members of the staff went on to actually do like really creative things and became famous, like John Hughes. So John Hughes, he wrote for the magazine for a little bit of time before he started his film career, which I didn't realize. I mean, I knew like John Hughes, Home Alone, this movie that we're going to be going over. But I was looking at some of the other things he did, and he did movies up until he died in 2009. Did you know, like, have you seen Mr. Mom?
Yep.
That's John Hughes. This movie's John Hughes. All, like, most of the vacation movies are John Hughes. 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Home Alone 1, 2, and 3, The Flubber that has Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
They're all Flubber. John Hughes movies, like, tons of John Hughes movies.
That's interesting.
But he was definitely... Didn't know that. Probably one of the best. Right, he wrote them, and he would help produce them. He'd get people to be a director. So he's just amazing. He's probably like the, I would say like the Steven Spielberg of like comedy movies. So, he actually didn't want to do this movie because he didn't want to do another vacation movie. They'd done the first two, and he said all these movies are just like a Chevy Chase like vehicle. Like it's a thing just for Chevy Chase, and so he really didn't want to do it. But then he thought about it and said, you know, I have a really good story I wrote for this magazine. That's a short story about my disastrous Christmas vacation with, I guess his dad was like a wicked klutz, and some of the things about the lights and stuff that we're going to go over a little bit later, some of that stuff happened to his dad. So he just took like all the best parts of crap that his dad did and his like crazy filming, and he just exaggerated it for the movie. So, which is kind of funny. And then the director, Chris Columbus, was initially the guy who was going to direct it. But he didn't get along with Chevy Chase. I notice a trend here. As much as I love him as an actor, and the little old childhood me feels sad saying this, Chevy Chase is kind of a jerk. There's been a lot of like...
I've never heard that before.
There's been a lot of people like, he was on that movie or that TV show, because I don't watch anything that was made after 2005. So what's it called? Community, I think it's called. Somebody's probably going to write in and tell us that we're idiots. But yeah, I think it was called Community. And Chevy Chase was on that show, and the staff all hated him. Said he was horrible to work with.
That's so sad.
And I've read it a bunch of times that he's just kind of... I feel like some of the funniest people in Hollywood are some of the biggest jerks.
You know what? I've heard that,
like,
too.
Like, Jim Carrey, I've heard, is not a nice person. Like, a lot of them I've heard, that you read about that aren't very nice.
You know, it's really sad that you say that because I grew up loving Jim Carrey. He was one of my favorite actors. And I think I've actually mentioned this in a past episode, but... they filmed Me, Myself, and Irene up here in Vermont, and I think I was 10, and me and my mom saw one of the trucks that were driving around, and they were trying to be discreet.
You didn't follow it, did you?
We did, and they were trying to be discreet. They had signs on the trucks that said MMR, yep. And me and my mom were like, what the heck is MMR?
Is that, and then like measles, mumps, and rubella, like a vaccine?
Yes, but not today. Oh. We put two and two together, and we're like, oh my God, it's Me, Myself, and Irene. So we followed this truck, and it tried to lose us for like 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
And we just kept following it, and then it gave up.
Sounds like an action movie.
Oh yeah, it was. And then we just follow it, and it was really cool. We got to watch them film a couple scenes, and I got to take a picture with Jim Carrey's chair. Hmm. But as an adult, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, there was nobody around, and I was there 10 years old,
yep,
sitting watching him, and he saw me. He knew I was there.
Didn't care.
You know, there was nobody else there.
It's kind of funny. We're off on another tangent, but which later on I'll talk about that. One of our listeners, I almost said a viewer, like we're a show. One of our listeners actually appreciates our tangents. So
yes, thank you.
It makes us feel good. yeah, my friend, his like backyard, the town I grew up in, is literally like the river where they do that scene towards the end with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so they filmed there for like a whole week, like in his backyard. Like he got paid by the movie company. They use his backyard. So we like hung out there the entire time. And like I met Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
She's super nice in person.
I've heard that.
Like what a nice lady, like talked to all of us somewhere. I have no idea where it is now. I even got her autograph. My friends did. Jim Carrey would want nothing to do with anybody.
That's so sad.
And you know, there were some times where we saw him on the set and he was like yelling at people and just, he just didn't seem like, I mean, you kind of feel bad. Somebody who's like really famous and just not a happy person. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think of people like the one that I know that, you know, and of course talk about not a happy person, but not to depress everybody listening, but I hear like Robin Williams supposedly was like the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. Was everyone who met him said he was like the nicest person on the planet. And then this is not the same level of star, but like I think of like Luis Guzman. You remember who he is?
He lives in Vermont.
And people that meet him say he's the nicest guy ever. He is.
We like, see him at the grocery store.
Yeah, he's like super nice and down to earth. But anyway, so back from our tangent. So yeah, so Chevy Chase didn't get along with director Chris Columbus. So he left because he was angry. And you'd think that'd be bad for his career because this was like his first major break. He got replaced by the guy who ended up, whose last name is Chechik, who directed this movie. However, it actually worked out for him because Chris Columbus, guess what movie John Hughes gave him as a, I'm sorry, Home Alone. He was the director of the first two Home Alone movies. So this didn't work out, but he got Home Alone, which I think this is a better movie. Home Alone is probably the more famous movie out of the two, though.
Yeah.
Definitely way more people watch Home Alone. So, and this movie, just real quick before we go into the plot, most of it was actually shot in Summit County, Colorado. So the house is actually in Colorado somewhere. I couldn't find online where it is, but it's actually a real house. And the interior shots were obviously done in Hollywood on a sound set. So, but all the scenes where he's outside plugging in the lights and stuff, that's a real house. It's a real neighborhood, so it's kind of cool.
That's so cool. It'd be great to see that one day.
Yep. And they actually, you can actually go to, well, I don't know if you can go now, but to the Warner Brothers Ranch facilities in Burbank, California, and they had to, for the movie, they had to build a facade of the house for a couple of the scenes. I think probably the one where they had the cops going through the window, so you're not going to have cops jumping through real windows on a real house. So they actually have, I think it's Clark Griswold's, the family's house, and the neighbor's house. There's like a facade, like a fake house, on that tour you do when you tour like the back mm-hmm. lot, so you actually can see it.
That's
so it's not the real house, but it's a looks like the real house. So
I'd love to do that. It's kind of cool.
All right, ready to go through the movie?
Yeah, I can start if you want.
Okay. Do you, sure, yeah.
You want to start with like the opening scene?
Yeah, sure.
Talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that the opening scene is one that everybody really remembers, especially because, like, you know, they're driving down the highway with the family singing Christmas carols, and all of a sudden they have the truck that tailgates them, and Clark, being dumb, doesn't slow down, tries to speed up, and then ends up under a giant semi-truck.
Yeah, we'll play a clip of it in a minute. But in normal Clark fashion, he's like, what do you say? He was like, it wasn't eat my rubber. It was like something like ridiculous. He's always like mispronouncing things or saying things wrong. And his son, the son is Johnny Galecki.
David from Roseanne.
David from Roseanne for us the 90s folks like us. But also plays Leonard on The Big Bang Theory. Yep, is the son. It's the only movie where he was the son. Different actors played which makes sense because the first movies were in the early 80s. So
he ends up under a semi-truck.
Yeah.
And of course you have his wife, Ellen, who's always there just yelling at him, telling him to stop, telling him to pull over, and he never listens.
Well, Ellen
always gets himself into trouble.
Ellen, the thing that makes her great, though, is that, yeah, she yells at him, but she really doesn't yell at him. There's times where she'll like just kind of look like, oh my God, this idiot. Like, it's part of her charm in the movie is like, she just knows that he's going to screw stuff up, and she figures out, like, whenever he's doing something dumb, what the solution is before he ever figures it out, but...
Okay, I feel like that's how it is in real life.
That's like a sitcom trope, though, too. Like, the 50s wife, like, it was like the episode of Roseanne where it's like, that darn Anderson account, and then Roseanne, like, while he's sleeping, like, fixes everything and makes it right.
Yep.
Like, we'll get into the light scene later, but with the scene with the lights, like, she figured out exactly what was going on and why the lights weren't working. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of another one. But, like, all throughout the movie, she's fixing things but, like, not letting him know that she's fixing things because she doesn't want to bruise his ego. And he's just, like, this
guy. See, then there's me. I don't mind bruising your ego.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I just want to let you know I fixed that for you and I figured it out.
Yeah, you're just an idiot. Just want to let you know that. So I'll tell the next part. So after they go through this horrendous event, almost dying in a car accident because of Clark's road rage. Although, those guys were jerks. Like, I could see myself, like, completely... I wouldn't do what he was doing because the kid's in the car, but if it was just me by myself, I could see myself being really pissed.
I'd be the one yelling at you to pull over and let him pass. Yeah,
pull over
and
let him pass. Yep. I think you say it to me all the time. Like the other day you were saying it to me with somebody
and then
tailgating
me.
No, I'm going to drive slow on purpose. I'm going to make them suffer.
Hey, kids, look, a deer.
You want to ride behind somebody who does something like that? We're going to pull around them and leave them safely behind us.
Burn some dust here. Eat my rubber.
Dad, I think what you mean is burn rubber and eat my dust.
Whatever, Russ, whatever.
Eat my road, red liver lips!
Okay, that's enough of that. Speaking of Christmas trees, kids, can one of you tell me what the first kind of tree displayed at the White House was?
Dad, they're back.
Clark, stop it! I don't want to spend the holidays dead.
Honey, please, I'll do the driving, okay? Will you just take it easy, Ellen? I'm in complete control.
Get around this egg timer.
So they crash land the car. They're in the middle of the lot with all the trees, and he goes, we made great time. Like, he's like, they didn't even know he was gonna land there. He like launches the car through there. They land the parking lot. Made great time, kids. Takes out the sign. Takes out the fence. So they end up trudging through the snow for what seems like hours. And then what happens to the sister? She's like, first she's like, I can't feel my feet.
And then and then her snot freezes everywhere.
But then she goes, like, I can't feel my hips. And the mom's like, Clark, honey, or Sparky, whatever you call it. Like Audrey can't feel her legs or anything from the waist down or something, she says.
Audrey can't feel anything from the waist down. Yeah. And she's so calm about it.
Yeah.
It's just nonchalant.
And then when they get there, she can't even talk. She was just, like, frozen solid. So they find this tree. There's, like, this beam of light from heaven, like, raining down on this tree. Like, ah. And they're like, this is it. It's the perfect Griswold family Christmas tree. And then they realize that he doesn't have a saw. So they don't show you this, but somehow they uproot this entire tree, like roots and all. And they throw this thing on the top of the car. And it's like...
And that's the famous picture. Like, I have a t-shirt with that photo on it.
Like, I feel like people use like the silhouette of it.
Yeah.
As like a logo on stuff. Mm-hmm. And that tree is way too big for that car. Like, that would not work in real life.
No.
So when they get home, you know, the wife, again, is like, oh, honey, you sure this tree's going to fit? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. It's just a little, what do you say? It's a little full. He goes, I'm going to trim it some. And so then he, like, cuts the rope they have on it, and it's in the house now. And the branches go out, and it blows out, like, all the windows in the house, which is crazy. The amount of, like, damage he does to his house in this movie, and then miraculously in the next scene, it's fixed. Randomly fixed. It's pretty incredible.
I bet Ellen did it behind the scenes.
Oh, she got there with her hammer fixing it and her drill?
I wouldn't put it past her.
Do you think there's enough room for the angel?
Oh, sure, honey. I have a little more trimming to do, but that won't be a problem. Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree. A lot of sap in here. Looks great. Little full. A lot of sap.
Early on, Ellen's trying to talk Clark out of having the family come over, because he wants the entire family over for this grand old-fashioned Christmas, because she alludes to the fact that, like, he just overdoes it with everything. He overdoes weddings, he overdoes birthdays, he overdoes anniversaries. So what'd you say? He goes, yeah, you overdo funerals? Like, how do you overdo a funeral?
I don't know, but I'd like to see
like
it.
Like a choreographed dance move at the wake or something, or at the reception after the funeral? So he's just a guy that just goes way overboard on everything. And you can kind of sense that from watching all the movies. And she's trying to talk about having all the families together, because she knows, like almost every family, I think you guys can relate to it out there, that everybody just bickers and fights and arguing over who's going to sleep where and who ate the last whatever and what is the TV going to be on? What are we watching on TV? So, but he's convinced that I'm going to do it. This is going to be great. It's going to be this like remarkable Christmas. So both Clark and Ellen's parents arrive for Christmas, and they're bickering right from the beginning, and like weird stuff. Like, what did the grandmother say to
Is my mole getting bigger?
Well, there was that one. Yeah, does this look like cancerous to you? And then there was one with the grandmother that was like, "So if you rub this boil, I'll give you a whole dollar or whatever." and the son's like, "Gee, a whole dollar? It might not even been a dollar. It might have been like 50 cents or something." I was like, "Gee, I want to touch your boil and get a dollar." So everyone's super annoyed with what's going on, but Clark, he's determined to have a good old family, old-fashioned family fun Christmas. So, but this is the part of the movie where you can tell that he also was annoyed, but he just kind of, he doesn't want to say it because he doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. So he escapes to being outside. He's working on these lights, and he's got 25,000 supposed to be twinkly lights, although we find later on they don't twinkle. But he's going to cover this house full of lights. He wants it to be seen from outer space. So do you want to talk about what happens when he's setting up the lights?
Yes. Well, in normal Clark fashion, he falls off the roof, like, what, 3 times? falls off the roof.
We're not going to mention that I almost did that this year, too, on the ladder.
He did. And, okay. And in normal Ellen fashion, me, Amy, was looking at Josh putting Christmas lights up outside, and I said to him, "What are you doing? That doesn't look safe. You look like you're going to come crashing down." And he says, "I'm fine. I'm fine. It's all good." 5 minutes later, comes crashing down.
In my defense, you were rapping on the window. I'm like, well, that's supposed to mean you're knocking on the window. And I'm like, what is she even doing?
Oh, you can tell by my face.
Yeah, what, your scowl?
Anyways, so Clark is putting up the Christmas lights, and he is out there all day, and he does really stupid things like stapling a sweater to the house, falling off, hanging by the gutters.
Doesn't he make an ice thing launch out of the gutter into the neighbor's house? Like, destroys the stereo, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about the neighbors really quick before we go any further, who these neighbors are.
We got these, like, preppy neighbors who
I can't remember. What is their names? I might have it written down.
Too good
down
for
here.
Everybody.
Yeah, they're just, like,
fancy schmancy.
Super Todd and Margo. They're, like, those, like, just, like, yuppie, like, I'm better than you, like, wearing, like, matching silver, looks like tinfoil, like, workout.
Sweatsuits.
Like, definitely early 90s or late 80s for sure.
Yeah.
And they hate Clark. They hate him because they know he's just, everywhere he goes, disaster follows.
Yep.
So, I'm trying to think, what else? So, he fell down the ladder. Well, doesn't he fall off the ladder into, like, the bushes, and she comes up and goes, "It's time for dinner," and he's like, "Great," and she's looking around like, "Where the hell is he?" Yeah. And he's, like, in the bushes, like, he fell.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, so he's putting up all these Christmas lights, and he gets done hours later. Nighttime falls, and the whole family comes outside to see the lights turn on for the first time. And Clark plugs it in, and they don't turn on.
Yeah, drum roll, please.
Drum roll, nothing. So, you know, naturally he's disappointed. And he, you know, spends the rest of the night trying to get them all plugged in.
And then I think, if I remember right, it ends. Or, like, he doesn't get it figured out the first night, correct?
Right.
Because I feel like in between is that attic scene. And then the next time he figures out the lights, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
So the attic scene, and then you can go into the other light part. The attic scene is one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie. So it's the next day, and they're all going to go shopping, the whole family. And he goes up to the attic. Do you remember what he's getting? He went to grab something, like, super quick.
He was putting gifts away, hiding gifts.
Oh, okay, hiding gifts. Okay. So he goes up, and his mother-in-law, like, is like, why is it so drafty in here? It's so cold. She looks and sees that, like the little ladder, like the little like trap door to the attic's open. So she shuts it.
Did you want to smack her when she did that?
The mom?
Yeah. Maybe I'm just like hostile. But it really bugs me that she did that. I'm like, why would you do that? Clearly somebody's up there.
I don't think she really thought about it.
Well, she was kind of a not so nice.
Well, neither one of them were.
Anyways.
Like his.
So she did that and I was like, ugh.
His parents are like super, and we'll get into the lights thing again in a minute, but his parents are like super like, oh my God, this is amazing and everything. They're very supportive of their son. And her parents are just kind of jerks.
Grumpy and crotchety. Yeah,
like he's always pointing out all the things Clark does wrong, and we'll get into the lights, but when the lights work, so if you're twinkly, she's like, I don't see him twinkling, Clark. Like, he's just one of those people, like, I think we all have people like that in our lives, that they're just like, nothing is ever good enough, nothing is ever, you know, you never, nothing's ever right, no one's as smart as they are, like, they just think they're so much better.
Don't be like that. She's happy.
Maybe as to why she is the way she is. Maybe she'd be married to that guy for so long. Maybe she's that way on purpose to like deal with him. But yeah, so he gets the door of the attic gets shut. And so now he's stuck up in this attic. Like, because apparently there's no emergency exit when that thing gets shut.
Sounds like just terrifying.
Fire hazard to me.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's yelling at him through like the little, like it's like a window that swivels open. And they're leaving because the grumpy father-in-law is like, I gotta go get some lunch. I have diabetes or whatever. So they back out and he's alone. And so he's cold. So he finds a bunch of old like clothes and he has like an old towel. It's like a turban like wrapped around his head. And he decides he's wearing like some like robe like a woman wears or something. So it's like pink or like fuzzy. And he has like a fur coat or something on, I think. So he finds this box of these old films from his childhood, from like the 50s, and the projector. So he sets it up and it's really like kind of like it's one of the more heartwarming scenes in the movie where he's watching all these fond memories that he forgot about, and he's actually sheds a tear until at the end they get home, somebody opens up the attic. Of course, why would you set your chair on the trap door?
So the minute
someone opens it, he comes flying down through. What they don't show is who opened that damn door. They probably got crushed.
His wife.
She probably got taken out.
Probably. But she had presents. She was going to go hide.
Oh, my God.
And she pulled it down, and there he goes.
That part, no, and the part we didn't talk about right at the beginning of that scene is when he's trying to walk around the attic, and there's all those pieces of lumber, like those boards, and he steps on it, and it comes up and whacks him in the head. I mean, he just keeps doing it over and over and over again. Like, wouldn't you figure out the first time that you need to watch where you're walking? Oh. And then he, like, steps on, like, in between the rafters and goes right through the ceiling. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that's Clark. So after that, that's when the next scene with the lights happens. So you want to go over what happens, like how the wife figures out?
Well, the reason that the lights weren't turning on is because there was an outlet in the garage, and Clark, he just didn't think to check it. So he's checking all the plugs, all the light bulbs, everything, and then till Ellen comes to the rescue. It dawns on her
that you can see it too, like she's looking. And she's a great actress.
She's a really great
actress. The way she like looks at the camera and kind of like you can see the gears turning and she's like, oh, I got it.
Yep. And then she turns on the outlet in the garage and then it lights up and takes all the power in the entire town.
Yeah. Like there's a blackout and they still like a
nuclear emergency
auxiliary power and they have to flip the switch for them to come back on.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes. And then everybody comes out and they're just in awe and it's one of my favorite scenes for sure.
And right before she figures it out, like, I can't remember, somebody's playing with the light.
Yeah, one of their relatives.
Like, is like turning on to get, she was getting like ice cream or cheesecake or something. And so you have the yuppie neighbors, they're like trying to have like a romantic evening and the light comes on and it blinds them and they fall over and the light goes out and they can't see because now they're blinded. Then the light comes on again, one of them falls down the stairs, they break a table, like it's a pretty comedic scene. It's pretty funny. So they're looking at the lights and they're all like, oh, it's so beautiful, Clark. And everybody's crying and the old people that are grumpy. And he's kind of going on down the line of all of his family members until he's like, gee, Cousin Eddie, I'm so happy you're here. Wait a minute. Why are you here? Because they just showed up unannounced.
Surprise.
And Cousin Eddie, they're not like in their car. What are they driving?
The RV.
Like a really, really crappy
that
RV.
There is an RV. Don't go falling in love with it.
He goes, it's leaving here in a month when we go home or something. He's like, a month? Yeah, so you find out that later on that Cousin Eddie, who we met in the first movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in the first movie, you find that Cousin Eddie, he's like lost everything. It's kind of sad. Like they're broke, and this is their house now. All the kids are in this house. He lost his weight. No, he kept the worm farm. What do you say? I kept 50-foot plot in the worm farm because he like had a bait shop. Lost everything else. So it's Eddie and their children, or his wife Catherine and their children Rocky and Ruby Sue, and their Rottweiler named Snots.
He has sinus issues.
Yeah,
that's why he's
Snots. Yeah, he has some wicked sinus issues. So the next scene we're kind of skipping some in unimportant parts. You find out that they're really poor, and Clark decides he's going to help Cousin Eddie, and they're going to help with some presents so the kids have a good Christmas. Because there's the scene, the pool scene, where Ruby Sue says she's something bricks. I won't say the word.
Oh, I was just about to say
crapping bricks. We'll do the edited version. Because she was told by her dad that Santa's not coming this year. Because he's trying to let them know ahead of time that there is not going to be a Christmas. So that's when Clark decides he's got to help them. The next scene that's after that I love, it might be a little bit out of sequence, but that's okay, is the sledding scene. It's really funny.
When he sprays the sled with that chemical from his
work. Something from his work. So you get I think I remember right in the first movie they talk about it too, but he works for some sort of like chemical company that makes those weird compounds. I'm sure they're great for the environment,
mm-hmm.
and also not cancer causing at all. Like his whole big thing that year was he created like a cereal varnish that like you can put on cereal and doesn't get soggy in milk or something like that. Like that's going to be great to eat
terrifying.
That. Terrifying. But it was his big invention he made that year. So he's got some kind of like super powered like Pam spray or something that he sprays on the bottom of this metal saucer. And then he's like, hang 10 dudes. And he launches this thing and he's like this like flash of lightning. And you see him like flying down the mountain. And then, where does he end up? Like he ends up going through some snowbanks, ends up on the highway. Then doesn't he crash? Is it Walmart?
Walmart.
I think it's Walmart.
Yeah.
And what does he crash into?
I don't remember.
It's like a dumpster or something, isn't it?
I can't remember.
And that's the part that probably makes me laugh the hardest is when he hits and he like obviously he's like really seriously injured and they show Cousin Eddie and he's just like bingo he hits the dumpster.
You know that metal plate in my head?
How could I forget?
I had to have it replaced because every time Catherine revved up the microwave, I'd piss my pants and forget who I was for a half hour or so. So over at the VA, they had to replace it with a plastic one, and it ain't as strong, so... I don't know if I ought to go sailing down no hill with nothing between the ground of my brain but a piece of government plastic.
You really think it matters, Eddie?
Well, see, the plate runs right underneath my part here. These over here, it's, nothing, but here, if this gets dented, then my hair just ain't gonna look right.
I know the feeling. Well, I better try this first, see how it works.
Well, you be careful there, Clark.
Nothing to worry about, Eddie.
Going for a new amateur recreational saucer sled land speed record, Clark W. Griswold, Jr.
Remember, don't try this at home, kids. I am a professional.
Later, dudes. Let her rip. Hang pen.
So then the next scene that I would say is like really, really funny is a morning and he's like standing in his window. And Ellen comes over and hugs him, and he's like, "What are you doing, Clark?" And he's like, "I'm just staying here, and I'm enjoying the morning air and the Christmas season." And he's like looking around the neighborhood, and he's like, "And some dumbass pumping his liquid like excrement into my sewer." And the guy, he's out there. We'll play the clip in a second, but he's out there with this like hose hooked to his RV. It's going between his legs. It looks like he's peeing.
Oh, I almost said it.
And
you can bleep it. Shitter's full.
He goes,
add the bleep.
But he's not saying, he's yelling to Clark's neighbors. Imagine how embarrassed he must have been. He's like, "Merry Christmas. The shitter's full."
And he's putting it in the storm drain, which is illegal.
Yeah, in the storm drain.
Sewage in the storm drain.
He's putting raw sewage in the storm drain, which later on glows like neon green. Like, what the hell are they eating? Like, what are they even consuming to have it be neon green? Like, oh my God.
Aren't you having any breakfast?
I'm not in the mood.
What are you looking at?
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of the holiday air, and an asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Shitter was full!
Ah, yeah. You checked our shitters, honey?
Clark, please. He doesn't know any better.
He ought to know it's illegal. It's a storm sewer. If it fills with gas, I pity the person who lights a match within 10 yards of it.
Merry
Christmas! Dinner was full! We're getting kind of towards I'd say two-thirds of the way through the movie. So it's getting close to Christmas, and Clark's senile Aunt Bethany and his grumpy Uncle Lewis show up, and she's really senile. Like, what are some of the things that she did, like, in terms of the presents?
Wrapped up her cat as a Christmas present.
Her cat. There was something else, too, that was really
the Jell-O mold.
Oh, yeah, the Jell-O mold. And Clark's wife, like, sticks her finger in, and Eddie, like, puts her finger in his mouth. And she's like, what the hell?
It's lime.
It tastes like lime. She's definitely senile, like, has no clue where she is.
They ask her to say grace at dinner.
Yeah.
And she just breaks out. And was it the national anthem?
No, that's later on.
That's later on.
Yeah.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Yep. Cousin Eddie stands up, puts his hand over his heart, and he's like, it's like he's in school again, doing the national anthem.
Do they still do the Pledge of Allegiance?
I mean, yeah.
They don't in our kids' schools.
Depends on where in the country you live. I think some places went away from it.
Yeah,
I think down south, down south they still do it. Depends on where you... I did it all throughout school.
So did I.
Shows how old we are. Yeah.
And we used to sing a song afterwards.
Sing a song?
Yeah. Like, what song? This land is your land.
What?
Yeah. It was weird.
Where the heck did you go to school? We never sang a song afterwards.
They had the song playing, like, over the morning announcements.
What?
Like, did they do the Pledge of Allegiance over the morning announcement speaker?
Yes.
And then afterward they played a song. And we all had to sing.
I don't remember that at all.
It's very cultish, if you think about it.
I love my country, but yes, it is very cultish. Let's all sing the anthem. That seems really strange. That's like almost like something, I don't even know. That's weird. We definitely didn't do that. No, definitely didn't do that. We did the Pledge of Allegiance, and then it was, they did like the birthday club. Like, today is so-and-so, and so-and-so's birthday. Happy birthday. Like, that was what they did when I was growing up.
Same.
So this part of the movie... Clark is really starting to get stressed because he's wondering why his boss, Frank Shirley, has not given him his yearly bonus yet, which he really needs. As we said earlier, he bought the pool and he gave them a check and he doesn't have the money to cover it in his account. So, speaking of his boss, there's a scene that we skipped over earlier in the movie, which is the only one other thing I want to mention. And I might play a clip of it here. Yeah, I will play a clip of it here in a second. But where he's walking through the hallway and it's like his nine peons that all like, it's like the middle management underneath him. They're all walking in a straight line.
Kiss
he's
your
like,
ass.
Yeah, he's like, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kiss your ass. Kiss his ass. It's just some great, great, like, just things that make you laugh. I could see that
this
scene.
This is a movie that I feel like is very quotable.
Oh, very much.
I quote this movie all the time throughout the year. And I feel like there are so many people that know exactly what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love it.
Like, I could watch this movie, like, a million times, and I'll still laugh at all the same scenes. The shitter's full, the sled, the all that. Like I definitely always laugh at the same scenes, and it never gets old.
Mark?
Hmm.
Clark.
That's Bill, sir.
Are you the one who was working on that non-nutritive cereal varnish?
Yes, sir.
I've got to give a speech to a trade group. I'd like to mention it. Write up a brief summary and have it to me by the end of the day.
My pleasure.
Layman's terms. None of that inside bullshit jargon that nobody understands.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mrs. Shirley. We got your Christmas card the other day, and my family and I are very flattered that you remembered us. Corporate cards.
Don't forget that report, Bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
So now we're at the part where they're having their Christmas Eve dinner, and it is a dumpster fire of a dinner. Like, first, the turkey's, like, way overcooked. Like, he cuts into it, and it literally shrieks, and smoke pours out, and it looks like it's rubber. And then, they're sitting there eating, and they're like, what the hell's that noise? And Cousin Eddie's like, well, it's just Snot's probably hacking up some garbage he got into. And they go into the kitchen, and there's garbage everywhere. He's knocked over the trash. So as they're picking that mess up, the Uncle Lewis. Uncle Lewis is like, if you're not doing anything, what do you say? If you're not doing anything constructive, grab me my stogie. And so he goes and he gets him his cigar, and then they're eating, I think, and the lights go out. Oh, they flicker. No, they go out.
No, you
right?
see a giant flame.
Well, that's after. They're eating and the lights go out. And so I think that they sent the kid from right downstairs to turn the breaker back on. And when he does, the lights come back on. And that's when you see, like, you get a ring when you see this, like, huge spark. And they go into the living room. And there's this, they move the chairs, this outline of where this cat used to be.
It's kind
of
gross.
And it's the famous quote. He goes, that cat had nine lives, or it's Cousin Eddie, that cat had nine lives and he just spent them all, he says. So they put the chair outside, and Cousin Eddie's like, if you don't mind me asking, how much did that chair set you back, Clark? He goes, I'd like to take that thing home and fumigate it. That's a fine item right there. So they go back in and they're eating, and the grumpy uncle who has a stogie now decides that he's going to go smoke his stogie. And so that's when you see him light up his stogie, and they're sitting in the dining room, and all of a sudden you see that flame shoot out. It was like, woof, and it makes this audible noise. And he goes in to see what's going on, and he's like, my tree. Oh my God, my tree. And the tree's gone. Like, the tree, there's nothing left. It's like ash. And then he goes, what the hell are you complaining about? And he turns around, and the uncle's on fire. Like, Clark's gonna, like, tackle him to the ground and pat him out with a blanket. He's, like, on fire. So the chair's gone, the cat's dead, the trash was everywhere. There's a freaking tree that's, like, burnt to the ground in the middle of his living room. Like, he's not having a good evening. So then there's the whole squirrel scene. So he's freaking out. He's having a really, 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 really bad day. So he gets his chainsaw and cuts down a tree that's just out in his front yard, I think.
Yeah.
And he brings it in, and they put, and again, this might be a little out of order, but they put the tree in, and then that's when they're saying, what's that noise? They're all at this point now in the living room. What's that noise? And
surprise.
there's a squirrel in the tree, and there's this crazy scene of the squirrel running throughout the whole house, and Snot is chasing after it, and it all culminates in the when he cuts the tree down outside, it falls through Margot and Todd's window. And so it's funny because they're like, oh, don't you wish we had a tree? Even though it's cliche, don't you miss not having a tree on Christmas Eve? And all of a sudden, crash, this tree goes through their window. And so she's pissed. So she's telling him, you need to go over and talk to him. I'm done with this crap. And he's like, I can't do that. She's like, so if you're not going to be a man, then I'm going to go over and deal with it myself. So she's walking up to their front step, and she's about to knock on the door. And Clark opens the door, and the squirrel jumps on her chest, and the dog hits her. And then you see her go back over to her house, and she ends up punching her husband, fiance, whoever, boyfriend, in the face.
I don't blame her.
But, again, this might be a little bit out of order, but this is all the same night. Then there's the point, which I think is your favorite part of the movie, when he thinks that his bonus has arrived. Do you want to go into what happens?
Yeah, okay. So, like Josh had mentioned earlier, the boss, the big boss at the corporation.
Frank Shirley.
Yep. At the corporation that Clark works at, decided to get rid of bonuses. And it looks like every year, every employee gets a pretty substantial bonus. Yeah, like, I'm thinking it's part of their pay. In the tens of thousands. Are you thinking like around there? Well, because the pool was $7,500.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably like $5,000 or something. It's probably the bonus.
I don't think.
You think it's more than that?
He said he didn't have any money to cover the bonus. He didn't have
enough money to cover. I think he had some of the money. He didn't have all of it. Maybe you're right.
It was like $10,000.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Whatever.
Anyways,
it's a lot.
So the big boss decides to get rid of the bonus, and he didn't tell anybody. So when there was like a delivery man, what would you call him?
Just a messenger service. A messenger. Or something. They send he had the envelope stuck under his like seat or something and didn't see it the day before.
Yeah, so he delivered it to Clark's house
on Christmas.
His whole family's there. It's Christmas Eve. They're all cheering and excited because they think it's his bonus. He opens it to discover that it is a gift certificate to the Jelly of the Month Club.
My favorite quote, Cousin Eddie, Clark, that's the gift that keeps
on giving
the whole year round, he says.
I think we all need a little bit of Cousin Eddie inside of ourselves.
100%.
Anyways, so at that point, Clark just gets pissed off. He says, you know, I wish I had him here. I would teach him a lesson. You know, I would tell him what's on my mind.
There's a big rant. It's way more than that. We should play it right now.
Okay.
The rant.
We'll play it. This is the trigger warning that we talked about.
Hey. Oh. Hey.
Oh. Clark, what's wrong?
Honey.
It's bigger than you expected? Smaller? What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I'm sorry, Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got. God damn it!
Son.
Any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me? I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Okay, so that's like the funniest scene
my favorite part
in the entire
ever.
Movie, I think.
I love it. It's so funny. And so, of course, you have Cousin Eddie. He has a heart of gold, okay? He's a little bit... You know, he's a little slow, but that's okay. We still love him. But he has the heart of gold, and he took what Clark said literally.
Yeah, literally.
So he went and found, what's his name?
Frank.
Frank kidnaps him, brings him back to the house to have Clark confront him.
So he's reading, because after all the freak out and stuff, everybody's going to leave. It's a horrible, horrible night. And he says, no, you got to... He's finally calmed down a little bit. He had his freak out. He had his Tylenol. And he goes, no, I'm going to read, just like his dad did, I'm going to read the heck's that book. It's Night Before Christmas. So he's reading his story about, you know, about Santa and the reindeer on the roof and all that. And he's reading it in, like, mid-sense. He looks out the window and he goes... And Cousin Eddie kicking a small man in the ass of like with a bow on his chest and chains around his feet and his ankles and his wrist or something. It's like, what the hell? Like, go ahead.
So he comes in the house and, you know, he confronts him, tells him what he thinks. And the, what's his name?
The boss? Frank. Frank Shirley.
I've asked you that like 4 times.
It's okay.
Why can't I think of his name each time? Frank. He sees the family, and it kind of dawns on him what getting rid of the bonus is actually really did. And
the quote is, sometimes things look great on paper.
Yep.
But they don't. You don't realize how they affect the little people, the important people.
Exactly. So he decides to give him his bonus and add, what was it, 20%?
Yeah, which then makes him pass out.
He may think Clark passes out. It's a lot of money. But in the meantime, while this is all going on...
Yeah, they're all celebrating. Everybody's happy.
His wife, Frank's wife, calls the police because, you know, her husband's been kidnapped. So she shows up. The police show up. They're raiding the house, jumping through windows, coming in through the upstairs. And
you know one part I don't understand?
The freeze part?
Well, that too. We'll get that in a second. But the part I don't get is right before they crash through his house, you have, because now, you know, back to Margot or whatever, she's gotten, like, attacked by a dog. She punched her husband in the face. She's having a horrible night. So she's on the couch with, like, I think if I'm right, she's holding, like, an ice pack on her head. And they're knocking on the door, and she's like, "If you," because I think she kicked him out, so she thinks it's him. It's mm-hmm. She thinks it's her husband or her boyfriend or whatever. She's like, "If you want to come in here, you're gonna have to knock down that door." And it's the SWAT team, and then but they knock down her door, which I don't understand because
probably just to rule out the if he was there.
I guess I was like, why the hell did they hit like every house in the neighborhood and break their doors down? I don't know.
Interesting.
That part to me it's funny, but it's a weird part of the scene. But yeah, anyway, continue.
So you have the, I don't know, was it like the SWAT team that they come in?
They bust like every window in the house.
And they make everybody freeze. And naturally, for some reason, Ellen has her hand on Clark's unmentionables.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Protecting the family jewels.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to say. Okay. So they're frozen.
Well, she even, because the wife comes in, like, once they figure what's going on, they're introducing themselves and stuff. She has her hand on his, you know. And she takes it off, shakes the hand, her hand, and then puts the hand back.
But anyway, so you have that scene. You end up having the wife kind of get upset with Frank.
Well, yeah, because Frank goes, "I'm not pressing charges." And she's like, "What do you mean? You were kidnapped."
And, you know, she's there saying, "You didn't get rid of the bonuses. Why would you do that?" You know, so... It's a happy ending. He gets his bonus. He gets a swimming pool.
The police chief says, "If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you," to Frank.
But that's my favorite scene in the entire movie. I love it. It's so funny.
The end scene is ridiculous too. So they go outside.
Yeah.
And they're all happy. You know, every window in his freaking house is smashing again. How many windows did they smash in that movie? A lot. And they kept magically replacing them. So they're outside and they saw like a shooting star, and Ruby Sue thought that she saw Santa Claus. And so Clark tells them, "Well, no, it's actually the Christmas star," and it means he finally understood that the pool wasn't important, the money wasn't important. He realized what Christmas really means to him. It's about family, and it's this really heartwarming thing. And Uncle Lewis says, "That's not the Christmas star. That's the light from the sewage treatment plant." And it reminds Clark that Eddie had been dumping his RV sewage into the nearby storm drain. So poor Uncle Lewis has already been on fire from the tree incident.
If you don't know, that's very flammable.
He has his match. He's lit his another cigar. So clearly Uncle Lewis, I mean, I know you're an old man and it might be your last Christmas. Smoking's hazardous for your health. Stop smoking. So he throws the used match into the drain, and it triggers this gigantic explosion. And with the explosion, it sends Santa's sleigh and the decoration flying through the sky on fire. And as it's going through the sky, Bethany looks up and thinks that it's like, I don't even know, fireworks? And starts singing the Star Spangled Banner, and everybody joins in, and they're all singing the national anthem.
Oh my god, I love that part. It's just too funny.
And that's the end of the movie.
It kind of ends
like that.
If you haven't seen it, you really got to watch it. It's a really, really great movie. It definitely will make you laugh, for sure.
There's a few that like movies that, like at some point we'll probably have to do a Christmas story and like maybe next year or something. There's a few of these movies that are Christmas movies that didn't do well initially. Like one of my favorite movies that wasn't in my top three was It's a Wonderful Life. way older. Like, I think it's from like the 40s or something. That movie bombed in the box office. And later on kind of took on a life of its own when it was shown on like cable TV and became this like cult classic and now is like beloved. This movie, I think, from the minute it came out, it wasn't one of those. It was everybody loves this movie. Did great on cable, did great on home video. Like, it's just one of the, it's like an instant classic.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like when Elf came out, you're saying in 03, everybody loved that movie from the minute it came out.
Yep.
The original Santa Claus.
Yep.
Everybody loves that movie. So definitely, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. You have to watch it. Watch it now. Where do we see it? Streaming.
I don't remember.
Was it Netflix? Maybe Netflix. But you can look it up. You can Google it, and you can hear the ice in our... We record in our kitchen. The fridge is making noise. So definitely watch it. It's definitely worth watching. So I think any movie with... As much as he's not a great person in real life, any movie with Chevy Chase is a good movie. So Chevy Chase, not Chevy Chase.
Chevy.
Hey, you don't pronounce it like the car manufacturer.
No.
All right. So we're at the time of the time of the podcast now. You see, it's late, and I also got a vaccine boosted today, so I'm a little out of it. It's the time of the podcast where we're going to go through, and we mentioned our top three favorite movies at the beginning, Christmas movies. We got a couple of comments on some posts we did on social media, and we also got a message. So I'll read the ones I have, and then I think you have one more that
I don't have.
Okay, cool. So first I'll do the message that's unrelated to this episode.
First off, wait, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you guys aren't following us on social media, give us a follow because we post every day, lots of fun memory stuff, things you forgot about. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Let's see, what's our Instagram handle? I should know this by heart. Our Instagram is Gen Y Podcast. And I think you're going to find the same thing on Facebook, Generation Y Podcast. Find us there. Give us a like. Give us a follow. And it really, really means so much to us.
Do you have the number handy? If not, I'll read this first message and you can look it up.
Go ahead and read it.
We have the message. We definitely want to get some, as we said earlier, get some voicemails so that we can play them on the show. So we got a message after the last episode came out about 10 days ago or so from Jordan Wood. He said, I love listening to you guys. It brings back many good memories from my childhood. And the way you get off subject cracks me up. Okay, well, I'm glad you appreciate it. It's a good thing, I guess. He said, do you remember the bottle cap contest? He says that he used to win so many free Mountain Dews. So, yeah, I mean, I do.
Yeah.
Any of those contests like that.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about last episode about the peeling the things off the drinks, like at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
The bottle cap ones for sure, getting like the codes and entering them in online to see. And it made me think of this completely unrelated to the cap thing, but I remember the Coke card. Do you remember the Coke card? It was like 99, 2000. I was like in middle school.
Refresh my memory.
So they had a card like Coca-Cola did, and it was, I think, during the summers. And when you bought Coke, you'd get, I think it was, you got points and you could use it towards like, you could go like, and there was all different, like it was all national chains. But like if you went and you bought a Coke, you could like get like a free pizza from like Domino's, or you could redeem it for different stuff.
Yeah,
it was like free games of bowling, movie tickets.
Yeah.
Like you could redeem it for stuff.
Yeah, sometimes
and
I need my memory.
Pepsi had something like that too. In fact, and
didn't they have like an airplane giveaway?
Yeah, I was about to say that. So they had a famous one where they did a commercial where they were like, if you have, and it was some outrageous number of caps, it was like, you know, a million caps or whatever, they'll give you a Harrier jet. So I thought, there's no way someone can get a million caps. And if I remember right, I think the guy like did a campaign online and everyone send them their caps or something like that. Like he figured out, no, you know what it was? He figured out what the cost of getting the sodas would be. And he threatened to go out and I think buy all the sodas because a Harrier jet costs like, it's like a military plane. Like, first of all, they can't even give one away, but it cost like, you know, $130 million and a million caps or a million points was like, you know, what's a soda cost back then? 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Was $1 million. So he's like, oh, I'll take that for $1 million and get a $130 million airplane. Sure. And then lawyers got involved. They're like, well, no, you can't get a free Harrier. It's like an actual weapon that the military uses. So no, you can't have one. And it was false advertising. And they actually had to do a settlement with the guy. So
that's yeah, crazy to think about, for sure.
But we'll go back to the rest of his Jordan's message. So he also mentions the Discovery Zone, the ultimate kids' play place.
Oh, I missed that.
I remember I played like
DZ Discovery Zone.
Yeah, I had a bunch of birthday parties. I didn't, but friends had birthday parties at the Discovery Zone.
Oh, do you remember the commercials? DZ Discovery's
up. Oh, yeah.
The place for kids.
If I find one, I'll stick it in at some point.
Run and swing here. I don't think so. Climb and slide here. I don't think so. Then where?
DZ's made just for me. A place where I can really cut loose. It's all here.
Jump and tumble here? I don't think so. I'm going DZ, where kids
wanna be. Okay, and then he says the Disney movie box toys. They looked like little VHS cases. I remember those. Said he made sure to collect them all. I think with a lot of things, we made sure to try to collect them all.
Yep.
I feel like it's a thing now.
It was a big thing back then, collecting.
But it wasn't for a while. Now I feel like it's a thing again. Like, our kids have, like, all the blind bag stuff, and, like, you gotta collect them all, but...
And the Shopkins.
Yeah, all that stuff. Those little dolls that our daughter gets.
Yep.
And then Jordan has one more story he wanted to tell us. So, he said that his dad used to buy him and his brother duplicates of every Power Rangers toy. They would keep one sealed in the box, and then one open to play with. Well, that's really nice. They actually shared with each other. My brother and I definitely did not do that. And he said he had him almost 20 years sealed in the box until a falling out with a family member, and they left the whole collection sitting out in a rainstorm.
Oh, no.
And it trashed all of them.
Oh, that's horrible.
He said, I was so disappointed. That's like a real bummer, too, because I know a lot of stuff now, especially since the pandemic a couple of years ago, you know, now that we're almost 2 years of this horrendousness. Everything collectible has skyrocketed in value.
Mm.
All the video games, if you have things that are complete in boxes. The big thing I've seen lately is that all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures, complete in box, or any of like the 80s and 90s G.I. Joes. And I have to imagine that Power Rangers toys would be the exact same boat in terms of the value.
Yeah, that is a real bummer.
Yeah, like Masters of the Universe. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where they actually have replica or like reproduction copies of a lot of these toys for sale now, and even the copies are like $20.
Mm.
Bummer, Jordan. We really appreciate you writing in, but I hate that that happened to you. That's really, really crappy. So, let's see. Who else we got here? So, Lyle Perez, he actually commented on the post that you put online, Amy, about favorite holiday movies. And he says, I love Home Alone. It's probably my favorite Christmas movie of all time. It's one of the only movies that truly brings me back to my childhood. So thanks for writing in and letting us know about that, Lyle. Lyle's really awesome. We've mentioned him in, I think, previous episodes of our podcast, but he has a few podcasts himself. He has one that he used to do that I don't think he does anymore, and I wish you'd bring it back, Lyle, because it's amazing. It's called Amazing Advertising, and he went through all these like real retro advertising campaigns. Like, I think he did Snap, Crackle, and Pop from the Rice Krispies, and there was a bunch of them. He did that. That's where I first kind of learned who he was. And then he has a Halloween podcast that I think he does currently. And then for a little bit, he actually did a thing called It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. And it was all like 90s Christmas movies, music. Like, they reviewed a bunch of 90s Christmas stuff. So it's him and somebody else that did that one. So, oh, and he also clarified it in the last episode. He had mentioned something about an Apple turnover. And we were trying to figure out, did he mean the pie at McDonald's?
Oh, yeah.
And so he wrote in and said that, no, she did like the pies at McDonald's, but it was actually an Apple turnover from Jack in the Box.
Oh, we never had a Jack in the Box.
I wouldn't have even like thought of that because I don't have any reference point for Jack in the Box.
I know.
I hear good things.
We miss out so much.
I hear good things. Well, it's kind of like when we went to Vegas.
And In-N-Out.
4 years ago, whatever, and never had In-N-Out Burger. And I always thought, oh, it's probably like just like McDonald's.
No.
You know, overblown. It's not very good. No, it's incredible.
Oh my God,
it's
was really fabulous. Good.
It's definitely not overhyped.
No.
And then we had one more message. I don't know if this was, I think it was on Facebook, from Martha, one of our listeners, who said that they grew up watching It's a Wonderful Life on cable. And she said, I know it's not a 90s movie, but I have fond childhood memories of watching this with my parents. So I think I said this earlier in this episode. It's not a 90s movie, but I love this movie. Like, I have memories of watching it with my grandfather. I have memories of watching it with my mom and dad, and I think it's probably one of the best movies of all time.
And he's tried to make memories with me watching it.
Like five times.
And I can never stay awake. I end up falling asleep every single time.
40 minutes into it. I mean, I get it.
I'm trying. It's an older
movie. Like, I love old movies, but I get it. It's black and white.
I just keep falling asleep.
So we're going to try it again. I think I'm going to make her watch it Christmas night. We're going to try again. We'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. Wish me luck.
So, and then you had one on, is it Instagram?
On Instagram, yes. So I don't know your name, but it looks like he is the host of a podcast.
You have a username?
Yeah, I have a username. He's the host of Prime Nostalgia Podcast. His Instagram is KVNG Primetime. So it looks like he is in the podcast world as well with nostalgia. So that's great. He said that his favorite was Home Alone 2, which I really, really like that one. The one where he gets lost in New York. That's one of my favorite movies. A lot of people said that, and I don't understand why people said this, that they never thought that one was as good as the first one.
See, we
had, but I thought it was great. I loved it.
We had this conversation literally, I think, probably 3 or 4 days ago, because we watched that reboot of Home Alone.
Yeah, that was Disney+. It was actually pretty good, you guys. Watch it with your kids. It's good.
I went into it wanting to hate it, because I hate reboots of, like, I didn't even watch the reboot, the Ghostbusters, with the all-female cast. Not because I'm against there being an all-female cast, because I'm not sexist, I'm definitely for that. But it's like, come up with your own ideas. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to reboot, like, something that already happened? I think if they rebooted, like, Back to the Future, it'd be, like, blasphemy. No one would want to watch it, I think.
I wouldn't want
to. So I went into this Home Alone movie, the new one, going, oh, this is really going to be crap. But they actually paid homage to the old movie, which is really awesome. Like, they had, like, his brother and stuff in it.
What's his brother's name?
I don't even remember. But it says McAllister on his...
Yeah, oh my gosh. It says
McAllister on, like, his, like, name badge.
Drawing a blank.
He's a police officer, and then...
Buzz.
Buzz. And then they allude to the fact that Kevin owns a security company because it's McAllister Home Security. They have a sign on the front lawn of the house that the folks are trying to break into.
And it's funny. It's very laugh out loud funny.
Sad note. I think it was on the news like yesterday or today, because we're right before Christmas 2021 for people in the future listening to this. So the guy that plays Buzz, like, literally was just in that movie. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw
him. Got arrested for, like, domestic with his girlfriend. So sad. Come on.
So sad.
I was just thinking, oh, it's cool to see him in a movie. Now why'd you go and screw up like that? But no, it was a good movie. The reboot was pretty good. I mean, I'm also partial. I mean, we both liked... I joked earlier that I don't watch anything made after 2005, but we have watched The Office and stuff, and you have Erin from The Office or Kimmy Schmidt. I'm trying to think of her name in real life. I can't think of it right now. But she's one of the robbers in the new movie, and she does a really good job.
Well, she's not technically a robber.
We can't give it away.
Okay, all right. Just watch it. If you have kids, it's a good one to watch with your kids.
Disney Plus, good movie.
And I forgot to add, too, he also said he likes the Santa Claus, which is a good one, too.
Oh, that's a classic.
It's a classic. Tim Allen? Yeah.
Is that like, early enough where we could talk? Is that 90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Must have been late 90s, right?
I can find out really quick. I'm almost positive. I remember watching it as a kid.
We're
going
to have, like, the next 4 years worth of reviewing one Christmas movie every year. We're going to have to do, like, that one.
1994.
Okay, cool. I guess I was little on that. Or littler. I mean, I was, like, in school and stuff when that was out. Okay. I love Tim Allen anyway. I know you're not a fan. People who listen to our early episodes of this show knew I used to play that noise he made at Home Improvement
Noise. Oh, that noise. I don't know what it is. That noise bugs me. I don't know.
So we really thank all of you guys for messaging us, commenting, messaging us or commenting on Instagram. We really appreciate all the listener feedback and involvement. Definitely keep doing that. Keep giving us reviews on iTunes. If we get some good reviews in the future, we'll probably read them, because I like to read things that actually speak nice of
us. Be nice.
Yeah, we've had some not nice reviews, but that's okay. I know that I say like too much. I know I did in this episode, because...
And apparently I hate everything.
You hate everything. I talk too fast. You sound like a valley girl. Like, we've heard it all, so it doesn't really bother us, so...
Just be nice. Remember that we're people, too. And we have feelings.
95% of everyone who's really decent has always been great. So the haters are going to hate everything just because they want to.
Haters, they're going to hate. So all right.
They hate us because they aim us.
Yeah, exactly. Can I give them the phone number?
Yes.
Before I forget, and my phone's going to die. So I'm reading it off my phone. Okay, so like I said in the beginning, we do have a phone number for you guys to call. Leave us a voicemail, and we will play it on the podcast. We really want to hear you guys. We want to hear your voice. So that phone number is 304-805-6029.
So 304-805-6029. 805-6029. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Give us a call.
Definitely, like we do with this one. We're, you know, the next episode, I don't know what's even going to be yet. It'll be something after January 1st, but we'll post it on our Facebook and our Instagram, so you'll have an opportunity to comment. But if you're thinking about writing something and you're not opposed to people hearing your voice, call us in instead, and we'll definitely play it on the next episode. So, all right, I'm excited for Christmas. It is literally the Christmas Eve Eve, the day before Christmas Eve, and we really appreciate you guys listening, and we had a lot of fun going over this movie because we both love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have anything else you want to add?
No, we hope you guys have a wonderful holiday with your family and stay safe and stay
Merry
healthy.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. Stay safe, don't drink and drive, all that jazz, and we will see you in 2022.
Bye.
Bye.
Look!
No, it's the Christmas star. And that's all that matters tonight. Not bonuses or gifts or turkeys or trees. See, kids, it means something different to everybody. Now I know what it means to me.
That ain't the friggin' Christmas star, Grizz. It's a light on the sewage treatment plant.
Sewer gas?
Don't drop that!
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Oh, say.